The Gospel according to Luke, the 19th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. If Zacchaeus had only read OSHA Code of Federal Regulations, Part 1926, he would know that anytime you climb above 4 feet, you need fall protection. Or if you climb above 6 feet, if you're in a construction area, well, then you're okay. And actually, in some spots, you can go as high as 8 feet off the ground. But he went without any rope at all. In fact, if he would have known, American National Standards Institute, Z133, which any good tree worker has in the back of their minds, he would have a whole array of ideas of how to care for himself, because he's scrambling up that tree, knots and ropes and harnesses and all sorts of ways to protect himself. Now, I know, whenever somebody comes along and brings across the federal rules, that just makes everything dull and boring, right? Because all we want to do is climb trees. You want to climb the apple tree in your front yard, please go ahead. I like doing it as well. All I want to say is that if we're going to look at Zacchaeus today as a holy troublemaker, let's not model ourselves after this one specific thing that he does, because it's not terribly smart. It's unsafe. Quite frankly, it's dangerous. But Zacchaeus doesn't care. Zacchaeus seems to be moved so deeply that he has to see Jesus. Unlike the shameless, nameless woman who we met in Luke chapter 7 last week, this woman who is herself is a holy troublemaker, she wants to be in the presence of Jesus, and she pours out her tears and her oil and her hair upon the feet of Jesus because she wants to give thanks for her forgiveness. Zacchaeus is a little different. All he wants to do is see Jesus. He doesn't want to touch him. He doesn't want to talk to him. He certainly doesn't invite him into his house. That's Jesus inviting himself into Zacchaeus' house. He just wants to see Jesus. He just wants to know that this guy exists. And we don't know why, but he's motivated to climb up this tree. In fact, if we're going to call him a holy troublemaker, actually the only trouble that he has created up to this point is the trouble that he's done himself. In my translation, Luke says that Zacchaeus is a ruler among tax collectors, and he's rich. So I want to parse that out just a little bit. And just to clarify, it is not in the Gospel of Luke or in the presence of Christ. It is not a sin specifically to be rich, to have wealth. Now, Luke himself, he will talk about wealth distribution and economic imbalance and all those sorts of things. But it is not sinful to have wealth. For Zacchaeus, his sin comes in how he has acquired that wealth, because he's a tax collector. In Jesus' time, tax collectors were hired by the Roman government in their community. They would go door to door and they would collect the taxes. And the Roman government would decide what that tax rate was going to be. The Roman government, we might remind ourselves, they swept in. They're an oppressive government. They sweep in, and with their soldiers and with their force, they obliterate the local government, and they set all the rules from Rome or from wherever their powers happen to be at that moment. And they decide what the tax rate is. So they hire these tax collectors to collect the tax. They don't care if tax collectors get paid or not. And they really don't care how the tax collectors get paid. They just want their cut. So the tax collector would go door to door, and they would knock on the door. And let's say the Roman government said the flat tax is going to be 10%. All right. Tax collector comes to your door and says the tax is 20%, because tax collector wants their pay. Or maybe next week, the tax collector will come by and say, "Oh, by the way, rates went up, now it's 25%. And then they'll come by a month later and say, oh, by the way, the rates went up to 37.5%. Yes, you need to do the math, so pull out your calculator. And the rates just keep moving. They would fluctuate. And the tax collectors get to set that rate. And on some hand, we may think that's okay, they got to get paid, but it didn't matter who the person was, whether they were poor or whether they were rich, the rate was the same, and especially if we were poor, a widow, an orphan, and we couldn't pay it, then the tax collector could bring along their military force because they have the backing of the Roman government. So they could arrest you, they could imprison, they could bring about fines, penalties, arbitrary decisions. This is a despised role in the community. And Zacchaeus, it turns out, is not just a tax collector. He is a ruler of tax collectors. Or in your translation, it might say he's a chief tax collector, which means he's the one setting those rules. He's the top of the pyramid. That means all that corruption and all that extortion, it's all going to him. And he is becoming incredibly wealthy. And by the way, to get a job like that, one of those government-level jobs, one is going to have to be relatively ruthless. Someone is going to have to be rather sympathetic to the local government regime, and they probably need to show minimal signs of care and compassion for their suffering neighbors, especially the poor, the widows, the orphans, and those who can't pay. So we don't know why Zacchaeus, who is a wretched, villainous chief of tax collectors, we don't know why he wants to see Jesus. We can't get into his head. We don't know why he wants to humiliate himself by climbing a tree in the middle of town just so he can see some guy walking through on his way to Jerusalem. Now, you and I, we are post-Easter Christians. We believe that Jesus died, Jesus risen, Jesus will come again. It's the center of our faith. So, of course, whenever we hear a story about someone who does evil deeds and they're turned back to Christ by the Holy Spirit, and they're granted forgiveness, of course, this warms our hearts. Now, we're going to hear the noise of the crowds, but it's really more like this hazy white noise that's kind of dull in the back of our ears. What we are moved by is Zacchaeus being turned by the presence of Christ in his midst, right there in his face, and he is granted forgiveness. Because we know that Jesus will forgive him before Jesus even says the words. We know the outcome of this story, and we may never have heard this story. We may not know that classic song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he, and it doesn't matter. Here's a story of a bad person doing bad things, but when he encounters Christ, he becomes good. Forgiveness has been proclaimed. Grace has been washed again. This guy is being brought back into a relationship with Christ, just like all the other characters in Luke's gospel, and quite honestly, when we are in the presence of God, just like us. We come here on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. We come into this place for many reasons, and we all have our reasons, but one of the reasons that brings us here is because we want to be reconnected with God. Somewhere in this week, God has felt distant from us. And we know that in our faith promises, God's always near. God's as close as our flesh and our breath. So we know that that distance between us and God is probably our own doing. Tough as it is to admit, but we know that we have to confess this. So we come here, and maybe we're not ready for it right at the top of worship, but the Holy Spirit moves us through love and mercy and gives us the words so that we can stand upright in the presence of Christ and say, yeah, Jesus, I messed up again. And the promise of forgiveness holds, and the words of grace are spoken, and our bodies get just a little bit lighter, and our eyes go up just a little bit more so we can have a little bit more light shine into our eyes, and we can see Christ in our midst, because we know Jesus has claimed us, and Jesus will forever claim us and clean us up and feed us and send us back out. This is fantastic news, and we need good news. We need to hear this good news. Our world needs to hear this good news. The people of El Paso, Texas, the people of Dayton, Ohio, the people of Chicago, Illinois need to hear this news that God's light is breaking into this world because we are surrounded by negative voices, tragic outcomes, and unraveling relationships. And some of that is our own doing. So, of course, we have the story of Zacchaeus, and we are warmed by his story, and we are siding with Zacchaeus because he is being redeemed. And yet in this particular story, the crowds are there. And in this particular story, the crowds have a rather critical role in our confession and forgiveness with Christ. It is vital that Zacchaeus is confronted by the bodily presence of Christ, especially here on the road to Jerusalem, which means this story is littered with signs of death and sin and life. They're all radiating out. And yet it's the crowds that remind Zacchaeus. It's the crowds that remind Jesus. It's the crowds that remind you and me as we hear this story that even after he has been forgiven by Christ, he still has a mess of broken relationships in his wake. His salvation, his relationship in the kingdom of God with Christ, it turns out it's not just about him and Christ. Jesus grants him grace so that he can be restored with God. And God grants him this grace so that he can restore himself with his community. Zacchaeus' story is a troublemaking story because he doesn't just talk to Jesus. The Holy Spirit then turns and shifts him so that he can begin to talk to his neighbors, specifically the poor and everybody who he has extorted and he has used force against. In this moment of encounter with the bodily Christ, it's the voice of the crowds. It's their noise, their grumbling in his ears that reminds Zacchaeus that there is a cost to sin. And so he is turned back to them. And he tries to make himself right with them. And he moves himself, or we would say he's moved by Christ, to turn back into his community and make the community the center of his thoughts and to restore their lives because he has just been restored. Christ is at the base of the tree. Suppose we could say Christ is at the foot of the cross, and he just transformed Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus will never be the same again, and his transformation happened in the center of town where everybody can see him. And his transformation is for this town. It's for his neighbors, who can't imagine that Zacchaeus would be anything other than a crook and an extortionist. It's for his neighbors who struggle to believe that Christ has come for all of humanity when it seems that some of in the community are benefiting and others are not. It is for his neighbors who have not experienced goodness or justice or equality or love in their daily lives. They've only experienced violence and shame and hate and inequality. And so they assume, even for all these lofty words that Zacchaeus speaks about how great Jesus is, nothing seems to change. Friends, in our faith, we know that Christ is our change. Christ is our transformation. Christ is our new life. Jesus is our living Word made flesh, living among us, becoming one of us, and moving through us through the restoration of our lives and for the restoration of this world. Our life ends and begins at the foot of the cross. We cannot approach God without acknowledging first our sin. And when we are set free by Christ, and we will be broken loose, and Jesus will dig us back out of the graves that we have created for ourselves, then Jesus will then move us to share this new life with our neighbors. And that is an act of joy and excitement because we can't help ourselves. We have to tell this good news, and this is the troubling part. It's also dangerous. Because we're turning back towards our neighbors and we're reconciling ourselves and we are offering hope to our brothers and sisters, even those whom we may have broken a relationship with. It is a movement towards relationship. It is a movement towards justice. It is a movement towards equality. Because we are no longer in the center of the conversation and our lives will never be the same. Our salvation, our saving grace from Christ who bears our sin and destroys it on the cross is directly tied to the salvation of our community, the renewal of our neighborhood, the reversal of the sanctioned acceptable acts that will always benefit some and worsen others. The forgiveness that is declared for Zacchaeus is not for him alone. These last words that we have in our reading, Jesus tells us that his forgiveness is tied to his house, which means the forgiveness of Zacchaeus moves on to his partner, it moves on to his kids, it moves on to his servants and anybody he has employed under his staff. His forgiveness moves out of his house and touches all the properties that his property is lined up with. His forgiveness will flow out his front door and out his back door, and it will move up and down the streets and impact the entire zip code. In fact, Jesus declares that Zacchaeus is the son of Abraham, which means his forgiveness is woven into all of creation. The trouble that Zacchaeus starts is still being heard and felt 2,000 years later. Our forgiveness changes lives. Christ's redemption in our world can restore our community, our words, and our acts of reconciliation, of seeking and renewing relationships, even those we have broken. This reflects God's kingdom breaking into this world, breaking into this community, breaking through this house, breaking through our lives to impact this world, to remind us again that Christ's light shines and hope remains. Amen.